We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Once again, that number is 214-856-0550. You can pop that question in there right now. All right. Here's question number one. Is America in the book of Revelation? Is America in end time prophecy? We're kind of a major country, so this is a great question. This is a really good question. And I've got some things to look at. Revelations 12 and 14, it talks about the woman that's giving birth, and there's a dragon about to devour her child. That story? Yeah. That woman, it says, is given two wings of a great eagle. And some people think that that is America protecting that woman. I don't think that's America. Number one, the next thing it says there, I think in 11, 12, 14, if you could pull that up, Revelations 12 and 14, it also says that that woman is protected in such a way that the devil can't get to her. And I don't think that describes America, right? I think the devil is well acquainted with America. Is that anywhere up there? She's taken out of the serpent's reach. That's at the end of verse 14. So I don't think that's America, although the eagle would definitely represent America. Well, let's look at this. Daniel 7. Daniel 7 in verse 4, actually. Daniel has this dream that is an end-time dream. It's an apocalyptic dream, and it's of four beasts coming out of the sea. And didn't we see the Antichrist? Didn't we read about in Revelation a beast coming out of the sea? Well, he sees four beasts and he describes them. One of them is a lion that has eagle's wings. And this, I find this one to be really interesting. Number one, let me just tell you, he's seeing a vision of the Antichrist and the New World Order, the government of the Antichrist. But in Daniel 7:4, he sees a lion with the wings of an eagle. Well, if America is the eagle, I mean, when you think of America, don't you think of a bald eagle, right? Don't you think of that? So maybe John was saying that. What country do you think of when you hear the word lion? Israel? What about England? What about Britain? That's their symbol, the lion. They've got a lion. And guess what? The eagle's wings are attached to the lion. Where does our lineage come from as Americans? From England. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? So if America is somewhere in end time prophecy, maybe we're there. We're attached to Britain right there. Maybe that's telling us something. But uh-oh, something happens. The wings are plucked off. Is that the next verse? Oh, right there. Yes, verse 4. I watched until its wings were torn off and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man. All right. So the lion becomes like a man, becomes like the Antichrist. It's like the wings are plucked off and then it becomes like a man. And that's pointing towards the Antichrist, I believe, symbolically. So let me just talk to you really quick. I just have to tell you this. It's not to inspire fear, but it's to let you know how imminently important this all is. If that is America being plucked off, that could mean that we're separated from them, that we became our own country. Could mean that. But it could also mean that destruction comes to America. I mean, that could happen. Not telling you to go all invest in bomb shelters. Not telling you to do that. We have, but no, I'm just kidding. We have not. All right. My youth pastor is the best left. All right, America destroyed? Well, let me tell you, let me give a little bit more credence to that idea. The fourth seal, there's a horseman that is pale. He's the pale horse, and he is death, and hell follows after him, and he's given power to kill one-fourth of the world. That's roughly 1.5 billion people. That could be the Western world. That could be North and South America right there. All dying in one moment. And that can happen. There are bombs, you know, there are just a few bombs that can do that, right? It's crazy stuff. So I just want, you know, I'm asked the question. So there you go. I don't know that that's what will happen, but I don't see America that well in the end time, and that could be a reason. Hopefully we're raptured by then. That'd be swell, but I hate to see that happen. I hate to see all the terrible things that are going to happen in the book of Revelation. Question two. I hope I answered that one all right. Question two. Symbolism in Revelation chapter 12. Who is the woman? Who is the child? Who is the dragon? Let me start with the dragon because I know this one. I know this. Ooh. It's Satan. We read that in our verse. It's either in chapter 17 or chapter 18. He's called that serpent, the dragon, also known as Satan. We read that, so I know who that is. That is Satan. Whew, gold star. Now, when it comes to the woman or the child, there are a lot of different thoughts on that. So I'm going to give you the orthodox thought first. I mean, this is what most Christians believe. If you read books on end time prophecy, they will give you this interpretation. The woman is Israel, and this is why they get that. She is clothed in the sun, and she is standing on the moon, and above her, she's adorned, I think, with 12 stars on her head. 12 stars, okay? So they think that's Israel. Why? Well, go to the Old Testament. You got a guy named Joseph. He has a dream, right? And it's of a sun and a moon and 11 stars. Okay, and the interpretation of that dreams were 11 stars were his brothers, and the sun and the moon were his father and mother. Right? Isaac and Rachel. Right? I'm just off the top of my head. All right. So guess what? Including him, he would be the 12th star, and actually Israel and Rachel, pardon me, Jacob and Rachel, and so his name becomes Israel, and this is the 12 tribes of Israel are his 12 sons, and so they are the 12 stars, and so they think that the woman is Israel. That's the orthodox view. Then they think that the son that's being born is Jesus, and so they're actually thinking that this isn't a prophecy in the future, but telling something in the past. Right, I got some issues with that, but they think that is Jesus being born, and that there is a devil, a dragon right there, ready to devour the child as soon as it's born. Who would that devil be then in that interpretation? Herod, because Herod was killing all the Israel's little boys during that time. Okay, so I don't totally agree with that. I kind of have a different opinion, but it's not that huge of a deal with me, but here's the idea. I believe that the woman is the church. I believe that the woman is the church because 12 also represents the church. I believe that the woman is the church. I believe that the child is a remnant inside the church. And I believe that the child is taken up, that is the rapture, and that the rest of the church is left behind and is being chased by the devil through the rest of the tribulation. Okay, so let's just sit. Here's one reason I have trouble with the woman being Israel. The woman is Israel, which is a group of people in a nation, and then so that's a group of people represented by the woman. But then they try to make the baby represent a single human being, and that doesn't match symbolically. So I think my thought is that the woman is the church at large, and inside the woman is a remnant, an overcomer. And this ties into Revelations 2 and 3 and gives strong meaning to the words that are spoken over every church, to him who overcomes. In fact, one of the promises to him who overcomes, I forget in which church, but it's that he will rule with me with a rod of iron. Revelation 12, it says that child will rule with a rod of iron. And that's also why they think that's Jesus. But that could also be to him who overcomes. So let me just tell you this. I feel really strongly about this. If there is a rapture, right, and the whole church doesn't go in that rapture, only a small portion of that church doesn't go, goes in that rapture, and you're left behind, don't give up on Jesus. Let me just tell you that. Don't ever give up on Jesus, okay? And you'll just, hopefully that's never you, and you never have to worry about this. But remember what I'm saying right now. Don't you give up on Jesus, because you can still make it. You can still make it through the tribulation. You can. It's going to be hard. Well, I would tell you that it's a lot easier to make it in the rapture and be an overcomer. By the way, how do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, through the word of our testimony. That's in the book of Revelation. All right, question three. All right, crazy question. All right, question three. If we are all changed at the seventh trumpet, we talked about that last week, does the Antichrist and the false prophet happen after that? I don't think so. I think that the false prophet and the Antichrist are present before the seventh trumpet. I think that it's either the false prophet or the Antichrist. I think it's the Antichrist that comes at the first seal. He is the white rider that is set on conquest. And he sets everything in motion. I believe that is the start of tribulation. When he comes into power, war follows after it. That's the second seal, the second rider. And then famine and death, right? So I believe that the Antichrist and the false prophet appear before the seventh trumpet. Of course, a lot of people would disagree with me, but we'll see. Whether or not there is a catching away at the seventh trumpet, that remains to be seen. We don't know. There are scriptures, you know, at the last trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise. We will be changed. In fact, the question references that. It appears the Antichrist and false prophet are already on the scene and leading the world astray. Okay. Question four. Are the bowls part of the tribulation? Remember, we have trumpets. We have seals, trumpets, and bowls. Are they part of the tribulation? The great tribulation seems to start at the sixth seal. Remember, there is a tribulation and a great tribulation. The tribulation in general is 7 years, and it's divided in half, 3.5 years and 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years are called the tribulation, and then it escalates. It escalates harder than a Harlem Shake video. It goes to, that was a stupid thing to say. Sorry, internet. All right. And then everyone dances with the Harlem Shake. All right. Got the tribulation, and then it escalates. The second half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, is called the Great Tribulation. Whenever you see great in the book of Revelation, it's really applying to that, like the great day of his wrath is what the sixth seal says. The great day of his wrath has come. It's pretty well highly regarded that is the moment of the middle of the tribulation when the great tribulation happens. And definitely a feature of the great tribulation are all seven bowls. So large amounts of judgment being poured out. I'm going to be talking about those bowls next week. I can't wait for it. All right. The trumpets and bowls appear to come after the sixth seal. Okay, so that's question four. Question five, who or what is Babylon the prostitute, and what or who do they represent? Well, we're told a little bit of that. Number one, they represent a city, a great city. And we're told all about that city, and there's a lot of weeping over the city. It's a merchant city. It's also described as a city on seven hills. Seven hills, and there's large cities. If you Google city of seven hills, there are a lot will come up. But the most known one in the ancient world would be what? City of the seven hills? Rome. In fact, when we're talking about ancient cities, what's the number one city you would think of? Rome or Jerusalem. So it could be Jerusalem, but it doesn't quite fit. That causes a lot of problems if that would be Jerusalem. I don't quite see how that would work out. All right. So it's a city, but it's also the base of Satan's false church. Women, this is also why I believe the woman in Revelation 12 is the church, because I believe it's just another part of Satan's copycat. That woman in Revelation 12, the woman, God usually represents a woman as his church, as a group of his people, as a woman. So wouldn't Satan do the same? Wouldn't it work that way? So not only is it a city, but it is a religious institution, right? It's going to be a one world religious institution. It's going to be a pulling together of all the religions together, and anyone that's not worshiping in that religion is going to be persecuted and destroyed for not being a part of that. In fact, there's a place where it says that the prophet is going to put up an image of the Antichrist, and people are going to worship that Antichrist. All right? This is part of Satan's church. And so when we read in who Mystery Babylon is, it is a city and it is also his false church, right? So there we go on that. I mean, there's a lot we could talk about that. If you have further questions, we could talk. Revelations 3:15. What does it mean to be hot, cold, or lukewarm? The church of Laodicea, it says that you are neither hot or cold, so I will spew you out of my mouth. You are lukewarm, and I will spew you out of my mouth. So what does it mean to be hot or cold or lukewarm? Let me try to explain this. I'll explain in one word, usable. Usable. Hot water, cold water is more usable. Hot water cleans things better. Cold water has purposes too. But get this. Hot and cold water forms bacteria slower than lukewarm water. You want an infestation of bacteria, you go with lukewarm water. Lukewarm water is not very usable. And what if you drank water that was infested with bacteria? What would your body do to it? You would vomit it out. Would you spew it out of your mouth? That's what the word spew means there. It doesn't mean I'm going to do a spit take. I'm going to spit it out. No. It's like, oh, this tastes terrible. No. It means that the body is rejecting it. There are Christians that aren't usable. They claim to be Christians and they claim Jesus, but they aren't usable. They aren't hot. They aren't cold. They're usable. So guess what? The body rejects them. So as Christians, we need to be usable. There's also stuff we could talk about, priority. Laodicea, when we look at Laodicea, the actual city, they had an aqueduct that ran like 5 miles from a hot spring. So when it came out of that hot spring, it was piping hot, but it had to wait so long to get there that by the time it got there, it was tepid. So we could talk about priority. Priority. If Jesus Christ is not a priority of your life, you're not very usable. You would be lukewarm. All right, question 7. This is the last one I have, so y'all get ready back there if you've got more. Who are the two witnesses, and what is their significance? All right, they're found in Revelations 11, I believe. Anyone can correct me if I'm wrong. I think they're found in Revelations 11, and it's a crazy story right here. There are two witnesses that just appear, and they are seen by the entire world, and they start doing demonstrations of God. Of God, not the Antichrist, not the false prophet, but of God. They're given power. They'll prophesy 1,260 days. About how long is that? 3.5 years. 3.5 years. And they're clothed in sackcloth. I believe this is a literal thing. But guess what? They are killed. They're killed, and the whole world sees it. In fact, the whole world rejoices over it. It even says in the book of Revelation that they start giving each other presents. They're like, yay, the two witnesses are dead. Here's an iPad. It's nothing against iPads. All right. But then the two witnesses are resurrected, and the whole world sees that too. And they're taken up to heaven. So what's the purpose of that? No, first of all, who are the two witnesses? Don't know for sure. Don't know for sure. I'm pretty sure it's not me. Pretty sure. No one laughed at that. I thought that was funny. All right. Two witnesses. I kind of lean towards Enoch and Elijah because they never died. That's kind of cool. Enoch never died and Elijah, they were both taken up. Could be Elijah and Enoch. I'm kind of rooting for Team E there. But some people think it's Elijah and Moses, they appear at the Mount Transfiguration. Elijah represents the law of God. Moses represents the law of God. Elijah represents his prophets. So maybe that's it. For certain, I don't know. So there's that. Why? I'll tell you why. Grace. Grace is unmerited favor, and grace is time. Never forget that grace is time. Every moment you have to turn around towards Jesus Christ, that is grace. You didn't deserve that time. The moment we sinned in the garden, grace started. He could have destroyed us right there, but he's given us time and space. And here is this period of 3.5 years that God is gracefully sending two powerful witnesses. It is impossible to see these witnesses and think that Jesus is a fraud and not real. But people are going to see that, and they're going to reject him. They're going to reject this, okay? But I believe it's all done out of grace. I hope those answered those questions pretty good, at least fairly. Don't hate me if I was lame on any of them. All right, and do we have any other questions? All right. Got one, it looks like. 8, is there any relevance to taking everything as practical and not symbolic in Revelation? Is there any relevance to taking everything as practical and not symbolic in Revelation? I would have trouble taking things as practical in Revelation. There are always things we can take practical in the Word of God. I mean, there are things, there's principles that we can learn. There's principles that we can learn. But according to John, this is what will happen, he says. He doesn't say that this is a good idea for you, or this is something that you can apply to your life. This is a warning. In fact, we haven't read this yet, but in like the last chapter, it says, in the first chapter, it says, blessed is anyone who reads it, hears it, takes it to heart. The last chapter says this, cursed is anyone who adds to it or takes away from it. In other words, he's saying, take it in its entirety. Believe it word for word. Don't say, oh, that's too hard, I don't want to believe that. Believe the whole thing. So in that way, I believe it's completely, there's obviously symbols. I'm sorry I'm so slow talking. There's symbols, but I believe a lot of this is literal. I believe I believe we will be shocked at how literal the book of Revelation is. There literally will be an Antichrist. I believe the beast is symbolic, but that Antichrist, I believe he's literal. I believe that false prophet, that's literal. The woman, that's symbolic, but what she's symbolic of, that's literal. There is going to be a false church. There's literally going to be Jesus showing up. I really want you to know that. I believe that with all my heart. Literally, Jesus, faithful and true, showing up. So I believe that it's totally literal. All right, are there any more questions?
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.